Please turn with me this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. The words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is the wonderful call of Christ. The wonderful call of Christ. A verse which in an unusual way the Lord laid upon my heart this week. And felt that whatever I had intended to do, I must bring it to you this morning. And we shall look at Joshua again this evening. Here is a call from Jesus Christ. And I want to say four things about it this morning, and I'll explain them. That it is clear, it is comprehensive, it is certain, and it is comforting. Don't think, though, because I've got four headings, this is some kind of lecture or clinical exercise. I have a great desire this morning that everyone here would know and hear these words as they are, the words of Jesus Christ, that you would hear him speaking to you and saying these things to you. Because it's not just that I happened upon this verse. It is, in my experience, that he has said these things to me. This is how the Lord works. This is the truth of his word, that he speaks to us by his word. And I desire that you would hear him, as I believe I have heard him this week in these lines. It's a message here that brings our great needs into very sharp focus. And then the great Saviour who can more than meet every need that we have. So firstly, what it is, this remarkable statement, is a clear call. He says, come to me. Come to me. It's an imperative. It's an instruction. It means, well, literally, move towards me. Come near to me. And it's a very clear instruction, isn't it? There's no one here who can't understand this. There are no preconditions. There are no qualifications, as it were. He says, come to me. It isn't hard to understand, and actually it isn't hard to do. It's certainly possible. When people say, how do I come to Jesus? Of course, we draw near to him, we speak to him in prayer. That is how. Just as we would if he were as he was at that time physically here in the world. You would draw near to him and speak to him as you could. We too can come to him in prayer in the same way and draw near to him. Believe upon him, who he is, what he's done, the eternal second person of the Godhead, the one who makes the Father known to each of us, the one who is God and man in order that he might bear the penalty for our sin, but that in doing so he might also represent us and take our place. At Calvary's cross, defeating death. And he doesn't say, go. He says, come. He doesn't say, go to a priest, or even to a pastor, or to anybody else. He says, come to me. It's an individual call. It's to all of us. It is so clear, isn't it? There's no go-between. We have no conceivable need of one with such a one to come to. Come to me. And you know, this is a one-stop journey with a beginning and an end. And you say, well, what are those two points? The beginning is where you are. The end is where he is. And it doesn't matter where you are. He says, come to me. You must come. And you don't need to discuss it first with your husband, your wife, your parents, your best friend, whatever. You come to him. Nobody can bring you to Jesus. Nobody can go to Jesus for you. You must come to him. And friend, perhaps you are a Christian believer here this morning. And many years ago you did indeed come to him. But you're cast down. Perhaps you're struggling with sin or with the circumstances of life or whatever. And you feel that you've let him down just one time too many. He says, come to me. That's the wonderful thing about hearing the voice of Jesus Christ in your life. That whatever your situation, whatever your circumstances, whatever has happened, you can hear him say, come to me. And you just obey. You say, I can't come. I can't come. Truth is, you won't come. We make so many excuses about why we can't come, what we can't do, what holds us back. The truth is, we won't come. But you must. People sometimes say, well, I know that the Bible teaches election, that God has a people that he has chosen from before the foundation of the world, and I don't know if I'm elect. Well, no, you don't, but I'll tell you what you do know. He says, come to me. And you don't need to know anything else. Come to me. Why should you not come? Friend, it's not just a very clear call. Secondly, it's a comprehensive call. What do I mean by that? A comprehensive call. Well, this call is to particular people, but it's very comprehensive. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. To everyone who knows, there's something not right. Something is wrong. I've not lived as I should have. It's not just people here in this room, it's anyone who may listen to this message or read these words. How can we say this? But he says it. All you who labor and are heavy laden, who feel fatigued, the literal meaning, worn out by hard work and are heavy laden, loaded up full of anxiety, cares, worries and burdens. And this has, of course, it has application to the cares and worries and burdens of life and of real physical exhaustion and all of those things. But it has a greater spiritual meaning. This is a call to everyone who has any care at all for the destiny, for the fate of their never dying soul. For we all have a soul given to us by God that will not die. And this is the human condition in a nutshell. You see, because Christ isn't first of all talking about having a hard day at work or having problems with finances or health or whatever it might be. Although these things will contribute to our feeling of exhaustion and helplessness, and they're part of our lives. And he cares about these things. But he is speaking about spiritual things, about our souls. Who was he speaking to here in Matthew 11? Well, almost 100% speaking to Jews. There may have been a few others about, but he is effectively speaking to Jewish people who were being led nationally by a religious system that had become warped and twisted into a complete system of work salvation, that you had to do this and do that. And Jesus says to them, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means inherit the kingdom of heaven. But that's the system being held up. That's the example being held up. You've got to do all these things. Keep all these laws. God will be pleased with you. Peace and acceptance with God will come from your good works and what you do. But the state of man without God is not that at all. All you who labor and are heavy laden, you will work and you will work and you will work and you will not please God. You will not find acceptance with God. You will try perhaps to keep his laws, but you will be utterly unable to do so, and you will be crushed by the burden even of his righteous laws, let alone all of the extra burdens that have been placed upon you, as the Jewish people had all of these requirements placed upon them. And even people who have already come to Jesus Christ can lose sight of the truth that we can never please God by our own actions. This call is clear. It is comprehensive. It is to all who know they have a need. All who know that things are not what they should be. It's clear. It's comprehensive. But it's also certain. Thirdly, it's a certain call, by which I mean it's guaranteed. It's guaranteed. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is a promise. It's a promise you can rely upon. Christ says, if you, yes, you, if you, because we all labor and we are all heavy laden, if you come to him, he will give you rest. He will. He doesn't say, I might. He doesn't say, you've got a chance. He says, I will. And suddenly, perhaps something may become awfully clear. Well, I've been coming to church all my life, or very regularly for a long period of my life, you might say. I've done my best. Yes, I've tried. I've labored. But you've still got a heavy burden, and it's not gone. Like Pilgrim in the Pilgrim's Progress with that great burden on his back. And all you thought about was coming to church. And you know what? This mustn't be misunderstood. But this is so important, and it makes the point. You never needed to come to church. You needed to come to Christ. That's the truth. You never needed to come to church. You needed to come to Christ. Now, indeed, I hope that coming to church may lead you to hear of Christ. And becoming a Christian would make you desire to come to church and meet with God's people and hear God's word. But what is our basic need? It is to come to Christ. No one else can take the burden of sin from your shoulders. Indeed, it's not that coming to church is a bad thing. But you can be meeting with the church and not be a part of the church at all. The church is the gathering of God's people to worship him and to hear his word and to observe his ordinances. And there are some who gather with the church who are not of the church. Don't fool yourself. You need to come to Christ. The church is designed for the blessing of those who actually no longer labor or are heavy laden in that spiritual sense, because their burden has been taken away. You might be meeting with the church, but be no part of the church. And yet, if you would come to Christ, If you would hear his voice, if you would obey his call, then you would be of the church in a moment. It would change instantly. Why? Well, because of who he is and what he has done. And I'm sure you know all about that. You know that the eternal second person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ, has come into this world and has taken on once for all, forever, a human form. He has lived a perfect life, offered up that life at Calvary's cross, and died the death we deserve to die. And if you come to him, you know that he paid the price for your sin there. And he says, come to me. And as he does so, he describes you. I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it. There's nobody here. There's nobody who could ever hear these words and Christ is not speaking to them. Christ is not calling to them. Christ is not describing them. You who labor and are heavy laden, you're not in control of your life. You're seeking pleasure in whatever things you want to spend your money on. You're looking for the next thing to entertain you. The next thing. You don't have a clue what you're doing really with your life. You're just looking for pleasure and enjoyment and you don't want to think too far ahead. You haven't got a clue about eternity. You don't know what will happen. Well, perhaps you do, but you don't want to think about what will happen to you when you die. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will. That will change. You come to me, and that hopelessness will change. That directionlessness will change. That lack of understanding will change. That confusion will change. That restlessness will change. It will all change. I will give you rest. Friends, it is clear. It is comprehensive. It is certain. And it is so very comforting. So it has been to me in these days. It's a comforting call, fourthly. I will give you rest. Literally, repose, refreshment. And this is what every true Christian discovers the moment they do indeed come to him. And then so wonderfully, those many other times through life, and I can tell you, yes, this is true, when we've grown cold, got into trouble, got distracted, got confused, got taken up with other things, started moving away from Jesus, he says, come back. Sometimes he lets us go a ways till we feel our need of him. And then with the same love and the same compassion and the same grace and mercy as that very first call that dawned on our minds and hearts, he says, come, come to me. God is love. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the fullest expression of the love of God. When we stop our worrying and our striving, and we begin to trust him, how sweet it is. How sweet it is. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. Oh, friends, I could talk about that all day long, but if you don't know it, you don't know it. You need to know it. Then when we come to him, things are different. For the first time, or indeed many times over, we begin not to care about what others think of us anymore, or how others see us, or what others might think about whether we are successes or failures, because we see that our identity is in Christ. It's not found in this world. It's not found in your exam results. It's not found in your employment. It's not found in your bank balance. It's not found in the size of your house or your car or in any other thing. It's found in Christ. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Find your all in me. And then, in a real sense, you are hiding in the Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. And you don't keep fussing over things that you can't change. You leave them with him, with that Almighty God. And that he, the creator of heaven and earth, so great, so vast, so glorious. Just watch a nature program, something which gives you a sense of the vastness of space. And just think the Lord is greater and outside of and beyond even all the vastness of the universe that we cannot comprehend, that scientists will never measure. But the Lord is beyond it all. He is infinite. And the mind-blowing reality that he calls me. Who am I? Speck of dust blowing around on the face of the earth for maybe 50, 60, 70, 80, even 100 years, even if it is 100 years, so what? It's nothing. But the infinite God calls to me, and that he would free me from the curse of my own sin. And from the things which I deserve to suffer. And from the never-ending burden of trying to make myself right. And trying to entertain and to amuse and to divert myself. And trying to make myself feel good. Why, you never will succeed in that. You never will. The Lord says to you, stop your working. Stop your worrying. Stop it. He says, stop it. And sometimes, as Christians, we need to be told to stop it. There's quite a well-known comedy sketch where somebody goes to see a psychiatrist, and that is basically his one line for everything. He just says, stop it. And you know, we need to think like that sometimes, and we need to hear Christ's call. He says, you need to stop this. Come to me. I will give you rest. The peace of God, which passes all understanding. You say, my sin is so horrible. I've just lied so many times. I've been unfaithful. I've betrayed people. I've lived for myself. He says, come to me and rest. See, my life is such a mess. It's so horrendously complicated. You can't possibly begin to unravel. He says, come to me and rest. I've failed so many times. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. So what? He says, come to me and rest. You see, there's nothing you can say to the Lord Jesus Christ in response to this. There is no response to this other than to come to him. You can't. There is no excuse. There is no disqualification. There is no qualification, as it were. There's nothing. There's nothing you can bring to him and say, this is why I can't. No valid response other than to come. And you know, there is nothing you can say to him that will bring any other response from him at this time than come unto me. And he keeps on saying it. Come unto me. Come unto me. And rest. And what rest he gives us. Sins forgiven. Conscience cleansed. Death defeated. And life without end. And you have not trusted him. And you have not responded to this. Friend, you have no idea. No idea what you are missing. The whole world, you think you know. You know nothing. Pleasure and joy, you think you know. You know nothing. When you come to him, you will say, even the half was not told me. How sinful. I want you to think about this, as hard as it may be. And remember, when you do think about this, he still says, come to me. How sinful it is. How grievously sad that you may have heard the gospel again and again and again and not have come to him. It is so sinful. It is so shameful. But friends, I'm not here to make you, to beat you up with this. I'm here to present you with the reality and the wonder of the fact that despite all of that, all of the sin and the shame, all the bitter shame and sorrow, that a time could ever be when I let the Saviour's pity plead in vain and proudly answered, all of self and none of thee. Despite all that, right now, in amazing love and mercy, he says to you, come to me. Come to me. So what, you haven't heard me all these years? Come to me now. So what, you've turned away from me? So what, you have rejected me? So what, you have suppressed the truth? So what? Come to me. And come to me now. But you must think about this. How much longer will he call you? Because whilst today is the day of salvation, and today is the day he calls and says, come, there will be a day when he calls no more. And he just leaves you to it. To your own foolishness. To your own life. To things that seem so diverting and exciting. And we hear, as we do hear, the shouts and the calls of people playing and watching rugby while we're meeting here. Doesn't necessarily mean they're not a Christian. But there's always something to distract you, something to divert you, something else. How much longer will he call you? How much longer? One day he will just leave you to it. But one thing I know is that this morning he is calling you. Calling to me and to you. Clearly, comprehensively, certainly. And what comfort awaits. What joy and peace in time and in eternity. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling to you and to me. Tenderly, graciously, he is calling. Come home. He says, come home, ye who are weary, come home. In a moment, you see, we're going to come to the Lord's table. And it may be there is somebody even here this morning who thinks, ah, well, that will do something for me. Taking part in this will do something for me. No, it won't. It will do nothing for you. Because just as you need to come to Christ, not come to church. Or you need to come to Christ before you come to his table. Otherwise it is meaningless and empty. Just a ritual. What is before us in this verse this morning? The key to eternal life and true happiness. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And it's not that there is nothing to do when we come to him. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There is a way he gives us to walk in, and we love his commands, but it is a delightful road. Before us this morning is the key to eternal life and happiness. Don't presume that he will keep on calling you. Don't presume that you will ever hear the gospel again. But come, and come now. Come to him. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's pray. Oh, gracious God, how we thank you for your word. Oh, Lord Jesus, how passing sweet are your words. How gracious and how wonderful is your invitation. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. Open our eyes and block our ears. Melt our hearts that we may say, oh, Jesus, I come. I come out of my sin. Out of unrest and arrogant pride, out of my shameful failure and loss, out of all of these things, that whoever we are and whatever we've done and whatever excuses we made in the past and however long we have resisted your grace, that now we may hear, and leaving all things, we should come just as we are, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Oh Lord, have mercy upon us. Whether we know you not, whether we have known you many years, that none of us should go from this place still wandering far, doing our own thing, but be near to Jesus Christ and walk in his way. And know joy and peace in believing. Bless us now, each one. Comfort our hearts. Raise us up from wherever we have fallen down. For we know, dear Lord, that you are gracious and you are merciful. And though it grieves you and that it grieves the Holy Spirit sometimes when we stumble and fall, the matter is not that we have fallen, but that we don't stay lying where we were, but that we get up and that we come. So bless us this morning. Draw near to each one of us. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.
Amen.